Somebody that I know has his wardrobe fully stocked with Frank Morano swag is Brian Kilmeade, one of the hardest working commentators and journalists anywhere. Also happens to be a New York Times bestselling author, one of the most listened to nationally syndicated talk show hosts in the country, the co-host of Fox and Friends, and now he's even dominating cable news on the weekend. Brian, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, Frank? How are you? I have my butler lay out my wardrobe. I will include Morano. Is this action wear? Is this lounge wear?
There's both.
Is this formal wear?
There's both. The one thing I've asked for that they have not yet implemented is they don't have a cocktail glass. I thought it would be so cool if there was like an other side of midnight whiskey glass, but apparently the supplier that we use for our merchandise doesn't offer that. So we'll have to keep working on that.
Well, that's also, there's a lot of entrepreneurs listening right now that might want to get in the cocktail glass business.
Brian.
Or is in it and want a little of the Morano the revenue.
That's right. That's right. Now, Brian, a lot of stuff happening in the news, but you were more right than wrong last week when it came to your analysis of the NFL playoffs. Obviously, this weekend, a lot of people focused on the Giants-Eagles game. How do you see it going down? Any reason to be optimistic for Giants fans?
Well, first off, I got to brag a little bit. I did get to the Jaguars game, and I was able to witness one
you
of
were
the
there
greatest
in
comebacks
person?
I'd ever see. There in person.
Oh, wow.
I have a great radio station out there. I was able to be in the area of Michael Waltz. Said, Brian, I got tickets. And I said, you know what? Let me just go. My daughter never gets to go to a game. It's always with my son. So we went, and I could not believe the start. It was the worst start I've ever seen. He had three interceptions early, 27-0. And I thought, you know, they're not like us. We don't have two teams in every sport. They have one. There's no basketball. There's minor league hockey. And to see fans, like, just crushed, and then to see them stay a half hour after the game, literally nobody was leaving. And they just had the best time. So, and then to see something, what I thought was even better with the Giants, coming back and just going toe-to-toe with the second-best team in the conference again and just be flat-out better. Better game plan, better execution, more confidence. So I think they got a real shot this week. I think the Eagles have to be worried, especially after the way they ended the season. They needed that game. What was it, 22-16? The Giants playing a quarterback that's never started an NFL game before? That shows me that the coaches have made a lot of adjustments.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm excited. I'm really hopeful, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. Hey, by the way, the Cowboys Tampa Bay game, is that? Do you think if you were betting, is that Tom Brady's last professional football game?
Well, the story today, Julian Edelman is a former undersized but fantastic wide receiver for the team, now retired, said that he's done in Tampa, but he's not done. Doesn't think. He's going to talk to him in the next few days, but Josh McDaniel, obviously his longtime offensive coordinator, his head coach of Las Vegas Raiders. And that would be logical. Some people have said the back to the Patriots. I don't see that. Jets need a quarterback. I can't see them doing that. The Patriots fans would be so mad.
A lot of people
them,
saying the Dolphins, maybe.
That's interesting, but I don't think so because of what happened last time. They got out in the owner got fined. And because there evidently was a plan in place for him to go there, be quarterback, and be a part owner, and that was exposed, confirmed, and the owner was fine because it's meddling. He's with another team at the time. Can't do that. So I don't think he's saying, you know, one of the reasons is because I think that it makes him look terrible because he blows up his marriage, apparently, to play one more bad season with a team that's clearly on the other side of success. And then he comes back and ends the way he did, and he did not play well, and his team was awful. So does he want to go out like that? I mean, personally, Fox is offering, what, $200 million just to sit in a booth and not wear eye black? No one will tackle him, not even Joe Buck because he went to ESPN. So, I mean, just go maybe that wait. I mean, seeing him there, and I wouldn't doubt I'm going to be the Super Bowl. I wouldn't doubt he's doing something for Fox at the Super Bowl now. Maybe he might want to start that.
Now, it's certainly going to be – it'll be interesting to see what happens. Really, the one of the greatest careers, if not the greatest career of any quarterback in history. Hey, speaking of history, we are watching history in D.C. They say today is the day that the U.S. could reach the debt limit. There are all sorts of discussions about negotiations. President Biden says he's not going to negotiate over the debt limit. Kevin McCarthy says, I can't believe this guy won't negotiate. Where do you see this debt limit battle ending up, Brian?
Well, the problem is for Republicans is that Joe Biden's desperate for a news change. And if you want to overwhelm the news of his docudrama, and he's handling it terribly, his press secretary, awful. They don't give her any information, doesn't seek it, gives bad answers. He even has NBC, NBC and CBS and ABC upset. He wants it out of the headlines. So how do you do that? You shut down the government. So this guy is probably going to try to stare down the House. That, you know, Kevin McCarthy shouldn't move, and he's not going to move. So this is use this as an opportunity to start looking at spending, make some pledges. That's what the debt ceiling's there for. It's not just to arbitrarily lift. It is, especially in an off election year, you're supposed to take a look at this and say, hey, guys, how together do we somehow act responsibly? And instead, Joe Biden, the Republicans are demented a couple of days ago. The big uniter is going to be asked to be a leader. And he's failed so many times before. All these bipartisan stuff, that happened through the Senate. It wasn't him. He wasn't bringing people together. That got done in the Senate, and they gave it to him. And, you know, whatever credit you want to give him, he's not somebody that's shown that you want to bring anyone together. So I see the government getting shut down.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. I know the, you know, if there's a debt default, they say that's going to be cataclysmic for the bond markets and for the stock market. But if they go the government shutdown route, that'll be interesting as well. And we've seen plenty of shutdowns, but I don't know that we've ever seen a debt default. So it'll be interesting. Now, in terms of the story of George Santos, just when you think it's over, there's another chapter. And I'm beginning to think this is like the kid that's stuck in the tube in Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. There's just so much pressure building and building every day that eventually it just has to burst. New York Post front page today has him dressed in drag in Brazil. How does this Santos story end, Brian?
I mean, this is the biggest embarrassment, period. I mean, you can't imagine a bigger fool on the planet. What I think is going to happen is he lasts until they find corruption. Mm. And the corruption would be, could be the campaign finance stuff. So, you know, taking donor dollars and paying off your rent, taking donor dollars and doing anything but, you know, paying your sister's bills. So that type thing. But lying on your resume, you know, I guess the lawsuit in Brazil could be a big thing. I guess Brazil might look to extradite him and try to put him on trial for something. So that could, you know, that could be the story. But what an embarrassment. I asked Lee Zeldin earlier in the week. I said, Lee, would you, if they have a special election, would you run for it? He goes, I don't think so. No one's talked to me about it. But that would be the thing that Republicans could keep the seat. But he's like, I really don't want to do that. Yeah, there was a reason why I left. I was ready to move on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Republicans could do something in Nassau County. They could do something in Queens. They could win. Obviously, they can win that seat. But they just need a normal person. I mean, this guy, do you know he made, I guess you know this, he made up a story where he got a volleyball scholarship to Baruch.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he plays volleyball.
Right. Well, no, he told that to Sid Rosenberg. It was on our station 2 years ago, and now it's been, it's really exploded. The New York Post has picked it up. CNN has picked it up. Well, whenever you're with Sid Rosenberg, there's always a desire to impress people with your athleticism and your physical ability. You know what that's like.
Right. I saw that you were on his show, said you turned down a full ride to Notre Dame football. And I thought to myself, Frank's going to get himself in trouble just trying to impress Sid. And so he had something to say in the lunchroom.
Yeah. No,
that's what the problem is.
Yeah. I think Sid misunderstood me. I actually told him I turned down a ride to the church at Notre Dame in France. You know, I turned down a ride.
I stand corrected.
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly
know that. So that was my bad. I don't
what's coming up on Fox and Friends today, Brian?
On Fox and Friends, it's going to be interesting. Tom Rinaldi is going to be joining us talking football. He's going to break down all the games of Fox Sports. Carly Shimkus is going to join us with Kat Timpf and Lee Carter. And we're going to talk about how single woke females are reshaping the U.S. and become one of the Democrats' most reliable voting blocks. They are not examples of that. They're examples of pretty much the opposite. We're going to open up with a docudrama. Also, you know that British comedian? I don't know if anyone's seen it, but he addressed a bunch of college students and basically told them how their woke principles are destroying, making them unhappy and destroying the world. And stop with this whole green mania, because we can't affect anything. We're only 2% of the world's pollutants. We're going to have that story. And we're going to take a look at a new low in Davos, what's happening with Al Gore, who's totally defamed. Everything in his book and his movie that he predicted has been wrong. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs at the rest of humanity. The only person who embarrassed himself more, perhaps, is John Kerry. So the Davos debacle, why I'm glad I'm not a rich billionaire stuck in Switzerland. So I'll talk about that. And also, think about this, guys. 17 Virginia schools denied merit scholarships to worthy students, many of which have moved on to college, because they want equity. It would make other people that didn't earn those scholarships and those merit scholarships, many of which have needed it to pay for college, almost everybody, because it would have made the people that didn't have it feel bad. So they kept it secret. Now it's done in 17 schools in Virginia. Is it being done in New York, in New Jersey, in Connecticut? I mean, do we have to go in there and find out, did our kid earn something and not get it because other kids didn't? So equity in our schools, we have to snap out of it and get back to competing as Americans. If you want to destroy America, wipe out that sense of competitive edge. That's what we do. We compete against each other and let the chips fall where they may. And now they want to stop us. I tell you, this is anti-Americanism. They want to stop that competing gene that we have in schools. And look at what Youngkin's doing. So I'm going to expose that and dive into that today. Mark Thiessen, Kellyanne Conway on radio. Kennedy's going to be in there. So those are at least three of the guests we're going to have today.
Speaking of Youngkin, you were the first person that I heard mention him as a prospective 2024 presidential candidate. Some people are saying that state Senate election that the Republicans lost in Virginia last week might be a bit of a setback to his legislative agenda and then his long-term political prospects. Other folks are saying that the non-Trump wing of the party is coalescing behind DeSantis. How do you view Youngkin as it relates to 2024 at this point?
He's going to be in there. He's going to be in the mix. Number one, he's got the financing. I think he's been strong in Virginia, but he's going to get with the Democratic legislature. He's got this huge business resume. I think American people like that idea. He is more Romney than Trump. No one really likes that too much, but he is more of a conservative than Romney. And I think he's got this photographic memory. I mean, he's wildly bright. He's got this athletic background, too, college basketball player. I think he'll be in there. He's definitely going to be an alternative. Look, Hogan is a moderate. He's going to run. You look at Asa Hutchinson, conservative but not nice guy. No, there's no Q rating. And then you have DeSantis, who everyone's counting on. But should he not develop that retail politics to go in there and look at Frank Morano and say, Frank, what's your problem? Well, you know, what do you need in your town? That thing that Clinton has, that George W. had. If he doesn't have, and that, Donald Trump to a degree, Donald Trump likes people. So I like DeSantis, but a lot of people that know him extremely well say that he's got to work the tables. He's got to, he's got to smooth the sponsors. He's
right. They're calling it a likability problem that he's got. And apparently he and his team are aware of this. And they know that this is something that he has to overcome.
I think Youngkin will be in there. Absolutely don't think he'll be in there because he'll outwork you. The one thing about Youngkin, you're going to have to knock him out. He will outwork you.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. An action-packed show on television and on radio. Brian, it's always a treat to talk with you. I really so enjoy these segments, and I know it's not as if you need many more things to do, but I really appreciate you chatting with us each week.
No, I love it, Frank. I get more feedback from this. And the other thing is I did not know you had this crisis of cups and some type of, I did not know you needed so much more. So we want some vendors to contact Frank with some offers, make it a competitive bidding situation, and let's get that swag out into the general public.
Brian Kilmeade, thanks so much, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right. If you want to comment on any portion of our discussion, you can give me a call, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Minute. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame in just a moment. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 open lines, all for you to be commenting for 15 seconds. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.